Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you because of your eternal purpose for gathering us together. We know that what no man can do is exactly what you will do for us. We are demanding that you open our eyes of understanding. We are pleading that the power of God, we activate the word of God and open it and break it in such a manner that we can assimilate, it can mix with faith within us, and it can cause us to arise and walk with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are praying that you will walk quietly among us. Lord, as quietly as this meeting has been arranged, we are praying that an eternal impact will be created by your Spirit. Amen. We are looking up, O God, that nobody who has attempted to be in this meeting will go without a definite touch from you. Amen. Lord, we have these 4 days to gather to you. We are asking that you will visit with us. Amen. You will dwell with us. Amen. You will open our eyes of understanding. Amen. Father, you will teach us to apply the truth. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our theme for this series of teachings between now and Sunday is the spotless bride. I'm sure that you are generally aware when we talk of the spotless bride. You are generally, it may be vaguely, aware that there's something we call the bride and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that okay? All right. And maybe somehow, you've come also to know that the bride we are talking about is a group of people that had been called out from the world, called out from the power of darkness, that they might have a relationship with the Lord. There are many, many scriptures that we need to study and we need to read. I will ask us to begin by simply looking at, I want us to study, so we'll read a scripture quickly and then we will return back onto something we will use to conclude tonight. May God help us in Jesus' name. Now look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Are you with me there? Matthew 22. Jesus answered, I'm reading from verse 1, and spake unto them again by parables, And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Let's stop there. Let's read another scripture. All I'm doing, we're familiarizing ourselves with some few things as regards the marriage, before I now go on to focus on the bride. You know, this week we have to study the spotless bride, isn't it? But we want to first of all discover that there is a marriage coming. There's a marriage coming. But who is to be married is a different subject, which is our object of discussion for these 3-4 days. But there's a marriage coming, and I'll tell you the process of getting into that marriage before I go ahead. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Are you there? Are you there? Quickly. Quickly. We would like to read Let's read from verse 5. Maybe we should read from verse 4 so that you can build up. And the 4 and 20 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. May God bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we read from the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And that Bible verse is a very compelling verse for us to begin our study. Sometimes you say, how is the kingdom of heaven? So many people say, when you say kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, how does it look like? What is the characteristic feature? Is there any teaching model that we can use to analyze and to be able to properly discuss the nature of the kingdom of heaven? And at various points, the Lord Jesus Christ, he used different means to pass across the truth. Are you with me? And he used different parables. And each of these parables were specifically used to represent different aspects or different emphases concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now, so whereas you are reading in Matthew chapter 22, it looks like a parable. When we got to the book of Revelation, which is the end of all things, did you notice that the Bible concluded where we stopped? What did he say? He said, write. Do you remember he said something like that? Revelation 19. He says, write. Blessed are those that have been called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the true sayings of God. So, may I tell you, what is looking like parable in Matthew, what is it by revelation? Is a true saying of God. One of these days, it will come to pass. It is not a mere idea. It is not some fiction that some people just put together just to keep people busy. The Bible says, this is the true sayings of God. Write it down. I don't know whether you understand that. Now, if somebody is telling you something, and I said, take your Bible and pen, write it down, and quote me, what are you going to do about what the man is saying? Eh? How do you undo it? You take it lightly? You take it seriously? Say, write it down. Because you see, when you write, a written document is an eternal document. I hope you know that. A verbal query, somebody calls you the MD of your office, or your immediate boss, he calls you and said, Doc, can you explain why you are not in the office Monday and Tuesday? Tell me why you are not in the office. If it's a verbal discussion, is there any problem? You know it's not serious. But supposing he greeted you I said, "Doc, we didn't see you on Monday and Tuesday." And you say, "You know, my wife," and you explained. And you nodded your head. You said, Now, by the time you are getting to your office, the office messenger just comes and gives you a letter and said, "Doc," he addressed you officially. He said, "Can you explain in writing within the next 24 hours why you absented yourself from official duty on Monday and Tuesday, 9th and 10th of September 1996, signed something, something, his own something, and then copy." What is going to happen? You know now that the matter is serious. Suppose as you went to him, you went back and said, "No, you know, but I told I explained it to you." So, "Oh, okay. No problem, no problem, no problem. I have understood." But he did not withdraw that letter. Neither did he withdraw where he has copied. He even bought you a bottle of malt and relaxed with you. Has the matter finished? Why hasn't it finished? It is written. It is written. Now listen, concerning this issue that we want to discuss this weekend, Baba says, do what? Write. And I want you to take note. Write it. It is because in case anything happens, I don't pray it does, and you happen to miss that glorious experience, record will show. In case you missed by whatever means to qualify for this marriage supper that God Himself is preparing for. God Himself is going to arrange a wedding ceremony for His Son. When you were here, when Jesus was here, did He marry? Did He marry? No. There's a reason why He didn't marry, which we are going to study. This is a seminar, so we are going to study. We are going to search Bible. And you know, I have not yet started searching that Bible with you. But we are dealing with preambles. And the first preamble is that your attitude towards this subject cannot be that of levity. It can't be that of carelessness. What did he say? Write. Every issue the Lord is going to raise with us as regards who qualifies to be part of the bride and to be part of that ceremony. What did Baba say? Write. Take note. He says write, not because he doesn't trust your head. He knows you are very brilliant. He knows you can nod your head and say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I understand everything." But it won't be enough. You must write this thing, but not on tables of paper. Are you hearing me? You must write this thing where it can never rub off. Did you see my face? Did you see some writing? Eh? When was it written? Many years ago. I was just 40 days when it was written. Can it rub, sir? Why not? Eh? Hallelujah. It was written where he can never rob. It was engraved on the flesh. When they were writing it, I was crying. Blood was gushing out. I was throwing my leg like this, and the man that was writing it kept writing. I kept crying, but he kept writing. He said, "This man, you are wicked." He said, "No." He said, with tears, with crying, with peppering, the way make marks. But when it is healed, it becomes your permanent treasure. Some of you are wondering, what is the treasure with this? It's because you don't know. It's because you don't have it. Hallelujah. If you have it, you know it's a treasure. I can never be lost. I can never be mistaken. I have a permanent, readable identity anywhere, open to all men. The more I grow, the bigger, the deeper, the wider, the bolder it becomes. If I grow fatter, it will grow fatter. If my face expands, it will expand. If I get blown up, it will get blown up. It's a permanent writing. You can't remove it. And you cannot unwrite it. Amen. Plastic surgeons, sometimes, they try. But to try to unwrite it is to do what? Is to create more damage. Is to create more damage. And to disfigure me completely. I want you to pray a prayer. Because the master say, write. You need to write the things the Lord will be saying to you on the tables of your heart. Where, let them carry you to London. Let them bring you back and send you to Jamaica. Anywhere at all, it can never rub off. Let them give you an appointment that is of the world status. Let you become the most important personality in the world. Let every opportunity come your way in such a manner that this thing is written that it cannot be robbed. Hallelujah. There are few times that you hear God giving instruction and saying, write. Very few times. You can count few times when God say, write. But usually when God says, write, it's something never to be forgotten. Never to be handled carelessly. Never to be overcrowded and never to be treated lightly. It's supposed to be something, a reference mark. That's the first prayer. That God, this thing you are saying and you are instructing that it should be written, let me not write it on paper, because paper will soon, it will disappear. It must be written indelibly on the tables of your heart. My prayer for you as we are going on is that these issues, when they wake you up in the middle of the night, it will be boldly written on your heart. When you travel and there's not even a fellowship, it will be boldly written on your heart. When there's plenty money and you have been greatly promoted, and people left and right, they are doing what they want to do, it will be written boldly on your heart, for it is written there. That's the kind of prayer. In every situation, under stress, under pleasure, it is written never to be robbed of. So, look, when the master says, write, this is the true sayings of God, it then means it's something to concentrate upon. It's something to pray until you understand it. It's something that you cannot afford to miss. There are many other good things in the Bible, but God never specifically mandated you to do what? To write them. It's like they are not prerequisites. It's like even if you forget those ones, no problem. But when you have come to something that you need all through your journey, Baba say, write. So your first prayer as we study, Lord, speak to me in a manner that it will become an indelible experience in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. Now, Jesus said, a certain king was making marriage for his son. But how do people, these are the things I'm studying with you, there are still preambles. There are times we may not go through these preambles finish tonight, but it's all right. Now, it says, how do people get invited into this marriage? How do people become participants in this arrangement? What is the method by which men are brought into this marriage? Look at it. Look at it, verse 3. 22:3. Are you there? What did he say? Matthew 22, verse 3. What did he say? And he sent forth his servants to call them. Listen carefully. Are you following me? Hallelujah. For any man to be brought into this marriage arrangement that the king is preparing for his son, which we have also discovered in Revelation chapter 19, said those that were called, there is a way by which God does it. How does he do it? By the sending forth of his servants. When God wants to include you in this glorious experience, he will send some one or two of his servants to call you. He will send someone to call you. And it pains me that many times, when God sends his servants
to you. He said, leave me alone. Why are you preaching to me? You think I don't know what I'm doing? You don't know where I'm going? I want to tell you, you don't know where you are going. Until you are called. And you cannot naturally be going the way you are going and arrive at that marriage supper. There is nobody that is born by his mother that can naturally find his way to heaven. It's not a matter of education or academics. It's not a matter of social status. It's not a question of, do you think I don't know? It's not a question of, do you think I don't know how to read the Bible? If it were like that, professors of religion, professors of theology, they would have been the best person in the marriage. Unfortunately, majority of them will go to hell. If it were by knowing, because you can read very widely, it means those that can read Greek and Latin and Hebrew and Aramaic, those who are versatile in the ancient and modern languages, and those who are versatile in philosophy, the philosophy of Socrates and Plato, they will have been the first group of people to arrive at that marriage supper. But that's not how it happens. God normally sent forth his servant. Listen carefully. Are you following me, small, small? We are still doing preambles. God must help us in Jesus' name. Now, the servant. Listen carefully. When the servant was sent forth, take note that the demand for response is not because of the servant. You are not understanding what I'm saying. Imagine that the head of state intends to see you, see one of our brothers. Say he wants to see Prof. Now, they now put everything together and then they send a servant, one of his messengers. And then the messenger comes. He said, "Are they look for Professor Abuaba? Where is he? Where is he?" And then he can say, Oga, then we say, make I call you. And that they say, whatever you they do, you should stand up now, and make you follow me. I told you, listen, I'm asking you a question. Is that how somebody should have addressed a professor? Eh? No. Alright. But let's imagine that Prof now said, how can he talk to me like that? Since you don't know how to address me properly, go and tell who sent you that I'm not coming. What's going to happen? When Prof thinks he's reacting against the messenger whom we see unconsciously and unwittingly insulting the man who sent him. Let me tell you, it does not matter what appearance the servant of God has. It does not matter whether he can speak good English or not. It is not important how he addresses you. He may not be polite. It does not matter whether he recognizes your status and gave you your correct appellation. It is not too important whether he knows how to speak correct grammar or not. And I warn you, some of you, you have refused to respond to the call unto the marriage supper according to you, the way they talk. I would have been a Christian, but I hate the way those people, they just stand and say, if you don't repent, you will go to hell. If you like that, let me go to hell. Sorry, brother. Let me tell you. If you got annoyed with the messenger, you thought it's the messenger you are reacting against. You are reacting against the Almighty God, and you are kicking against eternity. And yet, no one ever gets to this marriage except by the invitation of one of the servants. Some people said, I would have believed if God himself just stood up in the ceiling and said, Prof. Francis, I, the Almighty God, I, the Jehovah El Shaddai, I am calling you. And then you will shiver and say, speak on, for your servant heareth. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, brother, it's never like that. Are you hearing me? It's never like that. That's the first thing I want you to note. The preacher may not be well dressed. The preacher may not be civilized. The preacher may not be likable. The preacher may be rude. The preacher may not be rich. The preacher may not be educated. The preacher may not be able to speak good English. But the mannerisms of the preacher is not weightier enough for you to reject the invitation. And I want to ask you, what have you done to all the many servants that were sent unto you? Some, they sit in the congregation. Once the preacher started, can any good thing come out of this Nazareth? What does he know how to speak? Why is he talking like that?
Which school did he go? And he's trying to address me. Brother, and there's no other way by which God calls men unto this marriage supper except by the sending forth of his servants. Why do we preach the gospel? It's because it is the only means of bringing men to the marriage of the Lamb. Now we'll be first asking you, have you overreacted against the way a mere messenger presented the message and you threw away the message? There are some of you that the first pastor you met disappointed you so much. And he said, look, if that's the pastor, I prefer to go to hell. Do you really prefer to go to hell because of a pastor? Because at the gate of hell, when you stand there, they say, why did you reject the message we sent to you? Say, the pastor didn't express himself clearly. I said, young lady, why did you refuse the great invitation unto the kingdom of God? I said, well, when the young man brought the message, he was not polite. Just because he saw me standing with my boyfriend. Instead of saying, excuse me, he just bounced on us. He bounced on us. He disrupted our discussion. And I felt to hell with him and his message. That's why I refused. And anytime I hear them singing, Jesus can be saved, Jesus can be saved, Jesus can say, to hell with everything. Anytime they are doing, I just put my goggle on so that I don't care what happens. They say, that's why you rejected a great offer that would have turned your life around. Now that you have rejected, the person you are quarreling with, where is he? He's on the other side. Friend, I want to tell you, are you following me small? Yes. If there's another way by which God brings men into the kingdom, apart from the preaching of the word of God by his servants, we will have been doing it. It is true. Are you following me? Not all messengers are all right. But if they were the one who sent themselves, you would have been justified. But I want to tell you, collect the message. Forget the messenger. And do something about it. You may not like my face, though I know you like my face. Hallelujah. You may not like my speech, but the issue that we are dealing with is bigger even than myself. May I tell you? The message of the kingdom of God is bigger than the messenger. The message of your deliverance, the invitation to partake in the marriage supper of the Lamb that comes to you, is bigger than the man who is preaching it. You are getting disillusioned. Some say, look, the reason why I don't want anything about church is that church is commercialized these days.
all the dropouts, they will say, God called them. God will call me also. Let me tell you, I don't ask you not to quarrel with them. But while you are quarreling with them, accept the message first. Look into the content of the message. Don't just throw it aside and say, no. Consider the message. It is the thing that will change your destiny. It doesn't seem I can leave that side yet. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they will not come. But I'm still waiting. When they did not come, what did he do again in verse 4? What did he do again? He sent forth other servants. And there are some of you listening to me. God has sent 2, 3, 4, even 5 different servants of his to call you on the same issue. When I was still lecturing, they posted a copper to my department. And as I was the acting head of the department, I was supposed to receive him, collect his particulars, and assign him a job. And as he came, I greeted him, I called him by his name, I said, welcome to this department. This is physics department. This, that. Okay. When he finished, I had given him the courses I thought he can teach. I have made sure that he was assigned an allocation of accommodation. So one of the evenings, and also now I'm no more a head of department. I'm a servant of God. So as I was entering, I said, welcome, sir. I said, no, I didn't come as HOD. I'm coming with a message from the Almighty God for you. And I faced him, and the message was so direct. I was telling about Jesus. How you cannot run away from Jesus. Do you know what the young man did? I didn't know. He just sprouted up. He said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. But you see, I was not holding him. You know, I was very surprised. Because except that now I said I came to preach to him, he dare not say that to me as his boss in the office. You see, unfortunately, people that cannot insult you in business circle, when you now carry the word of God and preach, there is a kind of indignation inside of them. This is not church. And I want to tell you that religion is a private matter. It's a personal matter. And I don't want anybody to interfere and poke nose into my affairs. It doesn't really concern you. Praise the Lord. Are you the one to teach me how to pray? If I want to pray, I know where to pray and when to pray and how to pray my prayer. So please, don't want. So this young man sprouted. Leave me alone. Leave me. It's enough. Enough is enough. I said, what happened? He said, why is it that everywhere I go, somebody is always on my heel. And they have no other message for me except that you must be born again. You must be born again. At home, my father, when I was leaving home, he said, be careful, you are not yet born again. You must be born again. At school, they said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Even last weekend, where I just went to just relax with my copper friend, just as I was sitting down, somebody just came and spoiled my appetite. You must be born again. You must be born again. And here again, when I thought I'm supposed to be free, you are here again. Look, I'm tired of this thing. I said, no. But why do you want to die? He said, who told you I want to die? I don't want to die. I will live. I'm living. I said, you want to die. God is calling you. Do you think I'm the one who called you? Have I known you before? The things I've told you now, are they not true about your life? Why didn't he bother you and say, why now? And for you to say, God, I surrender all. He said, I'm sorry for being rude to you, but give me time. Give me time. No, give me time. Do you know what happened to the boy? Because, of course, every week, every day, he must meet me in the department. So each time he's coming, he will always be pretending to be in haste. So that he will just say, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Excuse me, can I have the curriculum for course? So. What is making him to run like that? Something is pushing him. Thank God, the man is born again today. Let me ask you, brother, how many messengers have you refused? There are times that God sent a man of God to preach. And as he's preaching, it looks as if it is your story he's telling. But instead of you to repent, you know what you did? You just adjusted yourself. You know what you are saying? Not here. Not here. Not here. If I stand up now, you will think now it's mercy that converted me. Not here. Not here. Let me tell you, every man that has been converted has always been by the delivery of a message through a servant. If you give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, you are not doing anything strange. It's the correct thing to do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is how God does it. If you are going to be part of this marriage supper that we are going to be talking about, you have to be invited. The servant must come and give you a message. Hallelujah. I want to illustrate that before I leave it. Because I want you to understand some few things. That understanding will prepare your mind. That understanding will help you to focus aright, to pray aright, to decide what will you do with this message. The messenger may be far, far, far junior to you. It's true. But the message he brought is from the Almighty God, who is far, 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 far senior to you.
Hallelujah.
How many servants have come your way and you rejected? One of my professors on campus, he was a prof from early 70s. One of the very notable profs. He had breakthroughs in his field, the first in Africa. But he was a drunkard. Hey, prof. Prof will be the last person in every dancing hall. And you know, once prof is drunk, small girls, the one that just came either to read prelim or something, prof will be running after them. So one day, I don't know how prof made a mistake, a good mistake. He invited one of the girls. He did not know that the girl is an SU, born again. And as prof invited the girl inside his room, in the office, and the girl came and said, "Sir, what do you want? What do you say, sir?" He said, "Sit down now, sit down. You know, education does not change misbehavior from somebody." See, remove all sense of decency. See, it takes all from all sense of decency. And prof started wanting to begin to fondle with the girl. And the girl stood up and said, "Excuse me, what do you mean, sir? Do you know me? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I don't do such. If I fail because of this, I prefer to even lose my admission. I'm a child of God." And while the girl was going, I think she did it over emotionally. She was quite rude to the prof. While she was going, she said, "Look, but I tell you, prof, except you repent, you will likewise perish." And she left a tract. That's the messenger. Left a tract. Prof got furious. "Me? Nobody has insulted me like this in the whole of this university. She will see." She was moving up and down inside this room. Have you ever been furious alone? he was going up and down like this. Me? What is in that girl? Me? He first of all removed the tract and threw it. But you see, after he threw away the tract, he cooled down again. Say, let me even read. What she said. "Behold, another servant speaking straight to the problem of the prof." He couldn't throw it away. He knelt down there in his office before a tract, and the professor repented. Became born again. Hallelujah. Now listen, it doesn't matter who the servant is. The message is bigger than the messenger. Make sure you don't reject the great invitation to be part of this team of people that will be sharing in the marriage supper of the Lamb because of who has been used. Each time I remember the prof's story, I feel so good. How many servants have you rejected? Young man, how many servants? Some of you started hearing the correct message since you were undergraduate. You finished, you went through postgraduate, you read your doctorate, you are out. Every time they say, let us pray, they say, well, they've come again, they've come again. And then you adjust your goggle, and then you walk out. Do you know whom you are walking out on? You are walking out on a message that is capable of turning your life around. That's where your peace is. That's where your deliverance is. That's where the joy and the fulfillment of God will come to your life. You cannot afford to reject it. You see, I've told you that this preamble, we can't get through it now. I want to stop there meanwhile. The Bible said, but they made light of it. Verse 5. Have you seen that? And went their ways. Does that look like your response? They did what? They made light of it. And went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Listen. Go to Luke 14. It will be more meaningful if we see what they said. Luke 14. It's the same story being repeated in Luke 14. But with some more detailed description. Verse 12. I don't want verse 12. I want verse 17. Have you seen it? Can someone read for me? Verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them, yes, sir. Come. All things are now ready. Go ahead, sir. Verse 18. And they all, with one consent, they began to make excuses. Let's look at their excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must need go and see it. Let's wait there. I want you all to please, let's analyze this quickly. Hallelujah. Are you following me, small? Yes. Good. Now, at what time did they invite them from verse 17? Please, what is the range of hours for supper time? Eh? From 7 p.m. till about 10. That's when normal supper time actually is. Are you understanding that now? Now, this man says, I have bought a piece of ground. Listen, he has bought it. Not that I will buy. When he say he has bought, what's the meaning of that? He has already paid for it. He has paid for a piece of ground that he has never seen. And then, what a time to go and see it. At supper time, between 7 p.m. and 10 o'clock, a piece of ground. Now, you are laughing now. Why are you laughing? Eh? It's unreasonable. It's stupid. Let me tell you, the excuses you have to reject Jesus is stupid. They said, come, all things are now ready. They are not saying you should pay. They are not asking you to buy anything. They did not ask you to come and help us cook. All things are now ready. All things about your salvation. All things about your deliverance. All things about your progress. They are now ready. Jesus paid the price and died on the cross. And he said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. What does it cost you to come? Nothing. If you came and he did not give you rest, at least you have a grant. And tell him, I said, excuse me, you see, that's why I know you are a liar. I came and you did not give me rest. But this man says, I have bought a piece of ground and I need to go and see it. Have me excused. I'm wondering, what is the reason that you have that you are asking God to please excuse you from his blessing? Excuse me, please, from your health program. Excuse me. Have me excused from your salvation. As you are putting other people's name, please have my name excused. Each time you hear the word of God and you do your head like this, you are saying, have me excused. I prefer to suffer and die and go to hell rather than come to the supper that is ready. What is your excuse for refusing the love of the Savior? What is your excuse for standing flippantly concerning this great salvation that God himself began to speak to us and confirmed by the hand of his apostles with signs and wonders? What's your excuse? Now, let's see what the man said he bought. You see, I love to study the Bible carefully. I was expecting I would have said, I bought a piece of land. He said he bought ground. What's the meaning of that? How can you buy a ground? But I know what he said. You see, ground, if you now look at it properly in English, you are talking of a basis. Is that okay? You are talking, they say, on what ground are you making your claim? Is that so? And this man says, I have bought another ground. I don't know which ground you have bought. Some said the ground of humanitarian services. Some say, look, what is Christianity? Is it not to be good to your neighbor? I never say it should not be good for somebody. I've never stood against anybody. Is there any problem with me? I have bought a ground. Some have bought the ground of academic excellence. I remember one of my foolish, you know, I have good lecturer and I have foolish ones. I had a lecturer. I don't know. You know, we were still developing the theory of gravitation. And we were looking at the Newton's law of gravitation. And as we were developing it and building it up, so this man said, he actually wants us to make
an experiment.
You know, in the law of gravitation, we said, in between two bodies, there is a pull in between two material objects. And except you come out of the gravitational field, you will always be under that pull. So that man has said, let us imagine that God is just any centimeter above the earth's gravitational field. Are you understanding that now? He now said, we should calculate what length of time will it take for us to send a message from here to God and for the result to come back? Those of us that said we believe in prayers, assuming that the fastest speed ever known is the speed of light as at that point. So let's assume that our message will travel with the speed of light. Do you know when we calculated? Do you know the answer we got? That for a message to leave planet Earth and to escape from the gravitational field into the outer space, and if to say God is not anywhere up far into the outer space, is just 1 centimeter beyond it, it will take 75 years, 13 days, and something seconds for the answer to come back. And you know what he said? He said, that's why he doesn't pray. Can you imagine that? He said, that's why he doesn't pray. Because he knows that it's foolish. Even if God is there, to ask one prayer request for you to get an answer, it takes a lifetime, 75 years. And he was so happy that he made a discovery. Of course, some of us that knew better, we told him, I said, excuse me, you are wrong. I spoke to him this morning and he has answered. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. He said, I have bought a piece of ground. Which ground did you buy? Some of you are refusing to give attention to the word of God because your uncle is in government. Your uncle is the minister. Each time we are preaching, the God says, no, we are in government. We are in government. We are in government. Let's pray about it. You say, there's no need to pray about that. I'll talk to uncle. What ground have you bought to have asked God to excuse you from this great invitation onto a glorious spiritual experience that you are not going to pay for? Some young girls, when they want to marry, we say, give your life to Jesus so that you can have a correct husband. Say, no. I know my choice. Understand? You see, if I say I'm going to your fellowship now, that saying some of your dropout brothers, they can't say, I saw a vision for you.
All those that don't have people, they don't have anybody looking for them, they are the ones that join your fellowship. Look at me, I'm pretty, I'm cute, and I'm caught. Let me tell you, the most beautiful ladies don't have a home. They don't have home. What ground have you bought? Which ground have you bought at this supper time? Which ground have you bought that you are asking Jesus to have you excused? Where are you going at supper time? What are you going to see in darkness? How can you be inspecting a ground in the dark? If a snake is inside that ground, can you see it? You see, that's what you do to yourself by asking the Lord to have you excused. Each time the word of God comes to a man and he takes his cap or he takes his hat or he takes his goggle and walks out and does not make a decision, he says, Lord, have me excused. I'm not interested. I have a ground. The ground of business contact. And some people say, look, you see, I will have been there, but you see, I have some businesses. Is the business your new ground for boycotting the marriage supper? Please have me excused. I have bought a ground. What ground? On what ground are you standing? But remember that thing right there. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, all the ground is sinking sand. All other ground, sinking sand. Some of us, we just bought a new ground of charms. Charm. You may be thinking that educated people, they don't use charm. Don't tell. It's not true. Eh? That which is buried as you are about entering the house. The live goat that was buried. So when you see people, they come out. They are so bold because Baba in the village has just given them something. They are coming. You don't know how to eat kola nut when you were young. Now you are eating kola nut. And Jesus said, come, I'll give you rest. When you put your life in my hand, when you entrust your life to my hand, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. But you say, have me excused from that one. I have just bought a new ground. Young lady, which ground have you just bought? That ground may be the young man that he says is marrying you. It bothers me to tell you that such men, he will dump you. It bothers me. Somebody got married, and after 3 months, the husband just fell down dead. Wow. That's the woman for which you refused Jesus. What ground have you bought? Now, look at the next one. Sir, don't be tired to read for us. Read one more time. Verse 19. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to prove them. Have me excused. At what time? At supper time. You see that the excuses were stupid. I don't like to insult people,
But I will have told you that whatever reason you have for rejecting this invitation from Jesus, that reason is stupid. It's a stupid reason. You are not thinking well. At supper time, I'm going to prove them. What can a man prove? What are you proving? And whom are you proving it to? What are you proving at this supper time? What are you proving at this late hour? Something that you have been struggling with since you were 21. You are now 45. You've not got what you are looking for. You still say you are going to prove it. What are you proving? You married? This is 20 years. Your husband has not stopped running after girls. He embarrasses you many times with girls that are like your small daughter or your junior sister. And you see, I will say, look, only Jesus can change that situation. You say, no. I have just learned some new techniques, some new food recipe. I'm going to prove them. What are you proving? What point are you proving, my brother? Mama, what are you proving? I call you Mama because you're a grandmother now. What are you proving at this supper time of your life? What are you proving? If that thing will work for you, it should have worked. Abi? If there's a way in it, Abba, you should have discovered it. Sleepless nights, they say, go here. One of my senior brothers, who is a prof, we're from the same village. You know what happened to him? I didn't know when he repented, so I just went to Kaduna and was preaching, and prof was in the meeting. I said, that's my brother. We're from the same village. He was so excited. He said, I must go and sleep with him that night. So I followed him. Prof said, look, I must tell you how the Lord saved my life. I said, what happened? Prof was in the Celestial Church. Can you imagine a professor following primary 6 dropouts wearing gerier? They don't wear shoe. You have not seen what I'm talking about. So they went to Israel. They went to Jerusalem for holy pilgrimage with the leader. And you know, they must never wear shoe in that hot. In that hot region. Very hot sand. Except Rob himself is here. I would have asked him to demonstrate what happened. You see? He said, when you are moving. The thing was hot and biting them. So you cannot really rest your foot and have a firm groan. So that's how they moved. He was proving something for many years until one day a messenger of the word of God just came and preached. He said, while the man was preaching, he was arguing with him that we also will speak in tongues. We also will see vision. We also we do this, we do that. Said the man, ask him, since you have been seeing vision, has your life changed? He couldn't answer that question. Thank God. He is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Now I'm asking you, what are you proving? What point are you proving at this supper time of your life? And this issue I'm talking to you tonight, Baba says, write it. Write it. You must not let this escape from your hand. Write it. And the other one says, I have married a wife. I don't know how correct that English is. I have married a wife. What should have been the right English? I have married. Or I have married a woman. Say, I have married a wife. Excuse me, who is a wife? Who is a wife? Someone that has married. So this man said, I have married a married woman. That's what he said. Did you see him? I have married a married woman. Have me excused. Is that why you want us to excuse you? Is that why you want God to excuse you? That you have seen a wife, the wife of Mr. Somebody, somewhere, and is the one you are going to marry. Sugar mummies. Eh? The Yorubas, they have a name for them. Do you know their name? Omatanu. They have finished everything, yet they are painting everywhere. You see a grandmother still bleaching. That's the one you want to marry. And you say we should have you escaped. So I said, look, the reason why I cannot join you people is because when you will come now, you'll be saying I should not marry the wife. If it was a correct marriage, the Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Say, you shall be saved, you and your household. If it was a correct marriage, marriage ought never to keep any man from the marriage supper. The wife that you have cannot take you away from the kingdom of God, except if it is that you have married a wife. Whatever you are doing, that you are marrying a married woman while her husband is still alive, I don't know. What do you want to get out of that one? And as a young girl, I have married a married man. I've married a husband. Eh? What are you doing with a husband? What do you want to do there? You are young. What are you proving? And you are saying for that reason, we should have you excused. God normally calls men. Every good thing that will happen to you, it comes by the sending forth of a servant. Are you understanding that? For you to be healed, for you to be saved, for you to be sanctified, for you to be delivered, for good things to begin to happen to you, God must send forth to you a message through a servant. It's a privilege that we are here tonight. You are going through another servant God is sending to you, what will you do with it? What will you do with it? Somebody made a proposal and it was rejected in heaven. That proposal looked wonderful. Maybe you are also making such a proposal, but let me show you the uselessness of that proposal. You remember the Bible told us about the rich man and the Lazarus. Do you remember the rich man and the Lazarus? Now, the rich man was here on earth. He did everything. He died. The Bible says, straight away, he went to hell. And the Bible says, as he went to hell, when he got to hell, his eyes opened. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Whatever is closing people's eyes now, once they die, their eyes will open. They will see. There are small girls say, don't marry him. She said, no, I will marry him. I love him. He loves me. Do you know that the second day, your eyes will just open. And you discover that you are not even the first. You are not even the second. You are just a jejet in the house. But if it were just ordinary marriage, I would not worry. Because at least you will go through it. But hell is irretrievable. Hell is not what to joke with. And to now tell God, can you understand? For you to reject what I'm saying tonight, you know what you are telling me? Go and tell him who sent you. As you have many excuses. I will wait to collect your response. I'm going to wait. Whatever you tell me to tell him, I will go deliver it. But if you respond, it will be wonderful. Now, this man got to hell. In verse 24 of chapter 16 of Luke, the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being tormented, and he said, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may do what? He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Did you again see his own science? Did you see his science? What did he say Lazarus should do? Now, let's forget that Lazarus is not an hygienic man. Let's assume that there's no problem. So, all the rules of IG, all the bacteriology he learned, he's done normal, and I would say, let him dip his finger. I know that if somebody wants to give you a cup of water to drink, and her finger suddenly touches it, what do you expect? Will you drink it? No. Please throw it away and wash the cup. But this man, he believes that if Lazarus will dip one finger, let me ask you, to dip a finger in water, let's imagine that there's no problem. How much water can it carry? One drop. Now wait. Let's imagine that even that one drop you are talking, we are assuming, we are making a theory now. You know, whenever we are developing theory in science, we try to deal with all other variables. We say all other variables remain constant. So let's look at all the variables that are constant. The hand will not shake. Have you?
Because if the fingers will shake small, what will happen? It will fall off. That's number one. So let's assume that the force of gravity will not work. Because you know, what makes a drop of water to stay on your fingertip is a theory of viscosity. Do you understand that now? It's because the water appears as a sphere and there is a force of cohesion that ties it together into the center. So that's why it looks like a ball that doesn't want to fall. But as soon as you raise it up or down like this, you change the shape from a sphere, it becomes an ellipse, and then force of gravity, it brings it down. That's why it will drop. So let's assume that that will not take place. Then he said, he seeth Abraham afar off. So let's imagine, you know, if it were like deep, it would have been easy. But then he went deep and then be carrying it over a great gulf, and the thing will not fall down. Let's assume that that one also remains constant. And then he said, in this flame. That there will be no evaporation. Did you see all that he believed now? People that will not believe the gospel in this world, they will believe stupid theories when they get married. I don't believe that you are so clever that you don't believe anything. You will believe something foolish. Those that refuse to acknowledge him as God, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. And they now worship, they now submit to something that is less than God. But what this man was believing. But even that, look at what they answered him. What did they say? Son, remember that thou in your lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. He's praying now. People will pray in hell, you know. There will be a lot of prayers in hell. Serious prayers. Serious intercessions. But it will be too late. I'm pleading with you by the message of God. You know, I told you that this message is a quiet message. I want us to go small, so that you won't say you don't know what to write. There's something to write in your heart tonight. The Bible said, the man now said, I pray you therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Listen, brother. People that have missed it, they have gone to hell now. If only it was possible for God to help you hear their cry. Do you know what they are saying? They are saying, excuse me. I have five brothers. Wole is my immediate junior brother. Wole, he works now in the Ministry of Works. He's an assistant director in the Ministry of Works. Then Kike. Yes. Kike followed Wole. She read law. She is located somewhere in Yaba. Lagos. She's a successful practitioner. She's in legal practice. But they did not know that I misrode. I would like to sponsor a missionary. Listen. If you know friends, colleagues, parents, wives that have gone to hell, if you hear what they are asking that they should do to those of us that are yet to cross over, you won't be complacent like this. They knew that they have got to the land of no return. Whatever selfishness is in them has died now. They don't want you to come there. Hell is not a place you will like your enemy to come when you have experienced it. Father Abraham, I have five brothers. Please send Lazarus to my father's house to do what? For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them. So you see, even in hell they know that the only way to be saved is by somebody to do what? To testify. A servant has to preach. Somebody has to tell you what to do. This man now was asking, let him go to my father's house that he may testify to them. Let they also come into this place of torment. That friend that you started living in sin with, that on the point of abortion, she died. She's in hell now. And she's crying for your name. She say, Chinyere was my colleague in this thing. I didn't know. Father Abraham, send somebody to Chinyere. Chinyere, I will give you an address and phone number. Send Lazarus that he may testify to them. Chinyere is there. And you know what is bothering me? Can you imagine how that man must be behaving here? Each time his junior brother Wally is driving the car and he escapes an accident. Father Abraham. He almost came now. And excuse me, nobody has talked to him. Nobody has gone to show him that I am in a bad situation. Look at the answer they gave him. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You are not understanding. Here, they are pleading that they should send other preachers. But heaven says, Brother Billy is dead there. Pastor Charles is still in charge. Mr. Kunle is still in the same office. He has known the truth. Kunle will tell him. Let them hear Kunle. These are the two issues I must pray with you with. Are you following me? If you are here, you have been rejecting servants. If you don't hear these ones that God is sending to you, there's no other one. But supposing you are sitting before me here tonight, and they have been mentioning your name as people that went to hell were crying, they said, that's why we have put Sister Uche in the same office with her, so that she will talk to Chinyere. They say, what? So one of those people died and went to hell again, and then that girl met Chinyere and said, hey, you didn't get the message? You mean you didn't get the message? The full gospel businessman that they invited you, you didn't go? He said, no, I didn't go. Uche just be carrying Bible. He said, you mean you didn't meet Uche? He said, I met her. But anytime we met, she discussed politics. In fact, before I had the accident that brought me here, we were discussing about Abacha government. That was what we discussed. And I told her that tomorrow we will continue. I didn't know that I would not return there. Sorry. I didn't want you to be here. I made a mistake. By refusing the message of the Word of God, I made a mistake. So you are here after all. And they are saying, Uche, we sent you to Chinyere to give her a message. You are talking politics. You are discussing Naira. $1 now is 85 Naira. How does that help a soul who is on the brink of hell? No! Father Abraham! But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. They said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I want to ask you, I don't know whether you are waiting for someone to die and come. You know, some of us, we like stories. Somebody will soon die again, and after 5 days, 6 days, he will raise from the dead, and then say, I have a message, I have a testimony. I saw heaven, I saw hell. That's why God said, I should come and pray to you. You will do like this. So you saw them. Did you see my brother? Did you see him? After all, he said, for this ministry to continue, you must give something fat. Because this message, I just got it right from heaven. And it's for you. They said, I should come and tell you. And the man will become a millionaire in another 1 year, because you will not hear a simple message. You like sophisticated things. You like to hear things. So if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, even if somebody died and came from the dead, you will not hear. We're stopping here. And we are going to be praying. I would like you to stand up as we pray together. I would like you to stand up on your feet wherever you are. God has sent me to you again. Brother, young lady, wait. Give me a response that I will take to heaven. Don't go except you send me back. What do I say to him who sent me to you? Let us pray together. Are you saying that you have your excuse? Are you saying, well, I have bought a ground ground of self-righteousness, a ground of business, a ground of money, a ground of a new contract, a ground of politics, a ground of a new appointment, or you just win visa lottery from US and it's a new ground for you to refuse the gospel? What ground have you bought? Or have you just got some new terms that they told you that it will never fail? Anybody that stands against you will just scatter. You are saying, have me excuse, let me go try it. We are praying. What do you want me to tell him who sent me to you tonight? Excuse me. What do you want me to tell God? He sent me a message to give you. There's no other way to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb except you respond to this message. God has sent so many other brothers to you before, but you said you didn't understand. I hope you understood tonight. What is your response? We're praying. And the Lord said, write this thing down, because one of these days in eternity, this message will come up again. In eternity, they will ask you again, were you not in the meeting? Did you not hear what they said? Speak to the Lord. What do you want me to tell God on your behalf tonight? What message are you sending back to heaven? And you see, Baba is already here. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear what you are saying. Will you open up your heart and say, Lord, I want to come. This is the supper time. I must be part of it. This is the supper time. I must be part of it. I must not miss my place on that table. Since you have counted me worthy that I should hear this message again tonight, Lord, I will not excuse myself. I must be part of it. I must be part of it. We are praying. We will soon end. We have been here for some time, but we want to send a response to heaven. What do you want God to hear you say today? Are you going to say, behold, I come? Or you are saying, have me excused. I have not come. I have married a wife. I have married a husband. What is that wife you married? You married a job? You marry your job? You marry your house? What did you marry that you are saying God should have your excuse from his blessing? Have your excuse from his power? Have your excuse from his salvation? My brother, what have you bought? What new ground are you standing upon? All other grounds are sinking sand.